Please take your Bibles and let's turn in 1 Corinthians to chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9 today. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Hear now God's holy word. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Please be seated. Paul has been talking through the first and the second chapter here about the deficiencies of human reason and logic and wisdom. And we shouldn't take that to mean that Paul looks down on all wisdom, as though Paul were somehow or other saying what we just want is a bunch of ignorant folks. That's not what he's saying. Paul did not look down on such things. He was an educated man. He studied under Gamaliel, but he understood one important truth, and that's what he's been hammering on, and that's what we need to see. And that important truth is that human wisdom always falls short in one area, one key important area, and that is human wisdom cannot impart a saving knowledge of God. It can do all kinds of other things, and when it is in accordance with the wisdom of God, it is correct. But when it's out of accord with it, obviously it's wrong. But the one thing it cannot do is it cannot bring you to a saving knowledge of God. And so wisdom is important. And Paul wants you to understand that there is such a thing as a true wisdom, but that true wisdom only comes from God. It doesn't come from philosophy textbooks, and it doesn't come from human teachers. It comes from God. And so he starts out by telling us something about the limits of human wisdom here. And one of the first things we need to recognize about the limits of human wisdom is it is merely temporal. It is only for this time. And so he begins in verse 6 and says, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age. Now, the way Paul writes this in Greek, word order is important in sentences, and the first word in the sentence is wisdom. And so what Paul is actually saying, he's placing the emphasis on wisdom. Wisdom we do impart. Yes, he's said lots of negative things about wisdom, and now he says wisdom we do impart, but he's drawing this contrast between the wisdom of this age, which he sometimes calls the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of God. There is a sharp contrast, and we need to recognize that. The wisdom of God is imparted, Paul says, to those who are mature. That word is sometimes in other translations translated as perfect. Now, if it can be read perfect, does that mean then that Paul is talking about two classes of Christians? On the one hand, here you've got the perfect guys, and on the other hand, you've got, what would you call them, babes in Christ or something. Well, no, I don't think he's getting at that here, because if you look at what he says as he continues his argument here in chapter 2, he's not talking about two classes of Christians. He's not talking about some super smart, intelligent, wise Christians and then the rest of them who are just a bunch of dummies in some way or immature in some way. He's not talking about that at all. He's contrasting in this section, and as we go on, we'll see it, those who have spiritual knowledge and those who do not have spiritual knowledge. In other words, he's contrasting believers with unbelievers, or what he's going to call later on the natural man, the person who does not have the Spirit of God. And so, Christians, we are those who are spiritual. We are those who are mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. And then there's the other class, and that is unbelievers. And they are those who cannot understand the wisdom of God. They don't want to know it, but they can't understand it either, as we'll see next time, Lord willing. Notice that the wisdom that we Christians accept, Paul says, is not the wisdom of this age. Think how different the wisdom of this age is from the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this age depends on what? It depends on human understanding. It depends on human reason. It depends upon human thinking. And the sad thing about wisdom of this age is it changes from age to age, and it changes from culture to culture, and even within the same culture, it changes all the time. Think about our own culture. A few years ago, even non-Christians would have said homosexuality is wrong and that transgenderism is wrong. These are deviations from the norm, and they need to be treated in some way, if not outright mental problems. And years ago, you did find that these were both considered to be serious mental problems that needed to be addressed. All that's changed. It's been swept away. And now people look upon these things as not merely acceptable, but things that ought to be applauded, and not only applauded, but promoted. Think the end of Romans chapter 1. This is what's going on in our day today. People not only do these things, but they approve of others doing these things. And so, when you look at the wisdom of the age, it changes with whatever the age considers to be normal. We who are Reformation Christians believe in the solas of the Reformation, the five solas. One of those is sola fide, and somebody jokingly said recently that there's only one sola of this age. There's only one sola today, and it is sola feels. How I feel about something is what rules everything. Doesn't matter. There's no objective truth as far as folks are concerned. There's no objective reality. There's no objective standard outside of how I feel. And so if I feel one particular way, that's true. And what's going on in our age today is, back when I was younger, it was, that's true for you, and this is true for me, and we can just kind of get along. Now, that's no longer the case. The way it is today is, this is true for me, and you better accept it, buddy, or I'll stomp on you to make sure you accept it. That's this age, the wisdom of this age. And the wisdom of this age is used to define good and evil. And that's what they're doing. And so God is ignored at the best, and violently rejected at the worst in this age by those who want to define themselves by their own feelings and their own ideas. And so today, folks are trying to define themselves as human beings based on their sexuality or their sexual orientation or what they seem to think. That's the big deal this week. And this month, and maybe this year, but 10 years from now, it may be some other thing that's the big deal of how I define myself now. It's all based on how I feel and what I think at the particular moment. And so there are those who make this make an appeal that we live in such an enlightened age. I actually read something the other day from a college student who said, we are the most enlightened generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth, and boy, we're going to set things right. And I can understand why Paul says, to the mature, we impart the wisdom of God. That's the best thing you can say about such a foolish remark is it's incredibly immature. It's incredibly immature to think that you are smarter and better than anybody else who's ever lived. It betrays the fact that you've never read history or think it's not important. So the problem really is not just the wisdom of this age, which changes from moment to moment. It's the fact that men are willing to go by it. They're willing to for practically any reason whatsoever, based on how they feel today, just change what reality is. And so the wisdom that's needed, Paul says, is not the wisdom of this age or of any other age. We don't look back to the 1950s as being wiser. Or don't look back to the 1770s as wiser, or the 1500s or 1600s as wiser. Instead, recognize that the wisdom that's needed is an eternal wisdom. It is a wisdom that comes from God, and that's what Paul is talking about here. Because you see, the wisdom of this age has one major flaw, in addition to the fact that it's basically wrong, based on wrong kinds of ideas and everything else, but it's going to pass away. It's going to pass away. It's only temporary. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, Paul says. You see, that's one of the reasons that the wisdom of any age will never do, and the age in which we live will never do, is that all of our rulers, all of our thought makers, all of our influential people, whoever they are doomed to die. They're doomed to pass away. And their ideas, which seem so bright and so smart right now, will also pass away. This age is not eternity. And all the people of this age are not destined to continue to have a lasting influence. Paul says they are doomed to pass away. That's the ESV. It's one word in Greek, and it's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. Take a look back at that verse. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, and here's that word, to bring to nothing the things that are. That word, doomed to pass away, means it's about to be brought to nothing. It's a present tense verb, too, because it indicates that God is in the process of exercising continuous control over all of His creation. And so the meaning is God's in charge of world history. He determines who lives and who dies. We know that from Scripture. But what Paul's saying here is He also determines how much influence those folks will have and for how long. And that's good news when you think about it, because we can become so wrapped, if you get all of your news from Facebook, you can become really depressed in a major hurry, because a lot of the things are doom and gloom. And if you look, and even at major news sources today, I mean, it's all doom and gloom. Everything's awful. And there are awful things in the world. There's no doubt about that. But it is God who determines who lives and who dies and how much influence they will have and how long that influence will last. And so the good news is this. This is what Paul says. God is working throughout history to cause His Word to be triumphant and to cause worldly wisdom and its proponents to fail. We just get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in the age, and we don't see the end that God sees. And so, for us, it's very depressing sometimes. It's very difficult sometimes, because we're caught right in the midst of something that's happening that is disturbing us in a great deal. And yet, God, on His throne, is saying, that's not going to last that long, and this guy's going to fade into obscurity. And all of His thought, which was so powerful right now, 100 years from now, nobody's going to even remember it. And so we have to remember God is still on His throne, and He is the one who's in charge, and therefore the wisdom of this age is not eternal wisdom, because the people who thunk it up are going to die, and with them will die their influence. Look down at verse 8. This wisdom of this, the wisdom that God gives to us, conveys to us, is beyond human imagination. None of the rulers of this age understood this. He's talking about God's wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and then Paul says what? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, Paul is saying that the rulers of this age, and he was talking in his day of Pilate and Caiaphas, the head, the Roman governor and the head of the Jewish state at that time, the head of the Jewish church. And he was saying these men, as powerful as they were because they are directly responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, they were not able to understand the wisdom of God that was presented by Christ. And if they had understood what Christ was truly saying, they would not have killed Him. They wouldn't have crucified Him. But what he's saying also applies to thought leaders and influential people in our day as well, our age. Worldly philosophers and leaders and rulers of all kinds, none of them in the past or none of them today understand the importance of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's what he's getting at. Remember, this whole section is on how important the crucifixion of Christ is and how this is God's wisdom and men don't understand it. And so, in the past, Rome didn't understand it. Judaism didn't understand it. They didn't know the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they did not know the wisdom that He alone imparts to us. And not knowing, therefore, the wisdom of God, they killed the source of that wisdom, the Son of God. Now, this verse also, if you're interested in it, teaches the equality of Jesus with His Father. Very clearly does, because in the Old Testament, Psalm 24, we read this, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And here it says, Jesus is the Lord of glory. And so He is equal with His Father. Notice the limits of human wisdom. He says, eyes can't see it, ears can't hear it, and hearts can't think it. Now, you notice that I pray often that the Lord will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. And that's because that's necessary. Because our natural hearts, our natural eyes can't see the truth of the Word of God. Our natural ears can't hear the truth of the Word of God. And our natural hearts don't believe the truth of the Word of God. We need to have a supernatural work in us by the Holy Spirit so that our eyes can see, our ears can hear, and our hearts can understand. And so human eyes can't see. Human beings, apart from Christ, can search through all the books in the world. They can go to all kinds of places looking for wisdom. Buddhist monasteries and pagan temples and mosques and all kinds of religious places and still not see the truth of God. Back in the 1960s, the Beatles went to India and brought back a guru. And the reason they did that is because they had mistakenly thought there is nothing to Christianity. They were living in a post-Christian culture in England that had given up on the gospel, and therefore there was nobody around them to say, look at what the Bible says. And so they went elsewhere searching for it. They found something that tickled their ears and they brought it back. And basically, there are a lot of folks that think, that say that the Beatles ruined Western culture. No, I think that what they were doing was they were just imitating what was already happening in Western culture. They just brought back false teachers who tickled the ears of people who wanted to hear. And so human eyes can't see it. Human ears can't hear it. You can listen to all kinds of speeches and debates. You can hear politicians pontificate on this, that, and the other. But you'll never find unchanging wisdom in what they say. As a matter of fact, you will find quite often, if you compare speech after speech, that some of those politicians change their opinions very quickly on the same issues. depending on who they're talking to. And human hearts can't begin to imagine or understand the truth. You can let your imagination run wild. I'm a science fiction buff. I like sci-fi. And I like space operas. And you can let your imagination run wild thinking about the human race colonizing the universe. And still, you'll never find eternal wisdom in such speculations. So the one thing that will elude you in every single human quest is this: the glorious blessings that God has in store for His children who love Him. That's what Paul is saying here. That's the one thing you're not going to be able to see this. You're not going to be able to find, searching in other religious books, you're not going to be able to find or hear or see anywhere else except in Scripture. You're not going to be able to find the glorious things that God has in store for His children, for those who love Him. Human wisdom won't find that. Human studying and searching will not find that. Those things are only found when God reveals Himself to us in His holy word. So what are the characteristics of the wisdom that God imparts? What are the distinctives of the wisdom that God imparts? We'll come back to verse 7. There are three things about this wisdom. Number one is it is the wisdom of God. But we impart a wisdom of God, Paul says. That's the first thing to recognize. This is wisdom that comes from God alone. It's in line with who God is. It's in line with what God does. It's in line with His character, His nature. And therefore, it is a wisdom that He alone reveals. And so it can't be found by looking to any type of human understanding or resource of any kind. It comes from Him. And that what that means is it is unknowable until God reveals it to us. And so that's the second thing about this wisdom. It's secret and hidden. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. The word secret is mystery. And the word hidden is concealed. And so you could translate this, but we impart a mysterious wisdom that God has concealed. That's what he's saying. It's secret. It's hidden. It was kept secret in ages past. It was known only to those to whom God chose to reveal Himself and His Word. And so the world didn't understand what was going on as God was in the process of preparing the Jewish people to bring forth the Messiah so that the Messiah would bring forth salvation for His elect from both Jews and Gentiles. The world didn't understand any of that. They couldn't find it by seeking any place else other than where God chose to reveal Himself, which is in Scripture. And so it was a hidden wisdom that was totally inaccessible to men until God chose to reveal it. And the character of this wisdom is that it lies entirely in the nature and purposes of God Himself. And so Paul's going to show us shortly that only the Holy Spirit really knows God's wisdom, and the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses to reveal that wisdom to His people. And the third thing is, this is a wisdom that is eternally designed for our glory. And that's one of the most astounding and amazing things, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. This secret wisdom, this hidden wisdom, this mysterious wisdom, the wisdom of God that was concealed for so long is a wisdom that is found where? It's found in the eternal decrees of God. Which means we're talking about wisdom that existed in the mind of God when only God existed. In other words, before He ever created anything, before there was ever anybody other than God Himself, this wisdom was in His mind when there was nobody but God. Now, nobody's going to be able to find that, right? Where are you going to go to find it? You're only going to find it when God chooses to reveal that, because there's nobody to look for it. There's nobody to seek it out. God has that wisdom, and He has to choose to reveal it. And so He ordained that this wisdom would unfold in time and in history, as he puts his eternal plan into action. And he's still doing that because there's still parts of that eternal plan, that eternal decree, that have not yet come to pass. There is still the final judgment to come and the eternal kingdom to come. And so there are still things that God is unfolding and revealing. How often have you as a Christian been asked by somebody, what's heaven going to be like? We don't know because we're not there. The people who are there know. What's the new heavens and the new earth going to be like? Even people in heaven don't know that yet because it has not come to pass yet. And so there are things that God is in the process of still revealing that we have not yet seen. And what Paul says that is absolutely astounding is this eternal decree of God includes, catch this, our glory. We often talk about His glory, but this includes our glory. That is absolutely jaw-dropping. Our glory has to do with what? It has to do with our eternal glory in Jesus Christ after the resurrection and the final judgment. It has to do with what God has in store for us as His people in the eternal kingdom yet to come in the future. It has to do with the plan of God that was formed in eternity in the past before He ever created the first Adam, A-T-O-M, and it includes the eternal future, the glory of heaven and the new heavens and the new earth and the final judgment and all of those things that have not taken place yet. And so the wisdom of God stretches from eternity in the past to eternity in the future. And obviously, there is no human being alive or who has ever lived who could possibly, no matter how hard or how long he searched, discover that. We can only know that when God chooses to reveal that. And He does in the pages of Scripture. And there are still some things that Scripture tells us. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us and our children forever, that we may keep all the words of this law. So there are some secret things that God has not yet chosen to reveal and may never choose to reveal, and that's okay. But the things that He does unveil, that He does reveal, are things that we can't find in any other way. And so that means that all the wise men of the world, searching throughout all eternity, could never discover these truths that are contained in Scripture by their logic and by their reason and by their philosophy and by their learning. They could never find these things out. These truths concern God's plan for us as believers. These truths stretch back into eternity in the past when God decreed them, and they stretch forward into eternity in the future when they will find their complete fulfillment as God accomplishes them for us through Jesus Christ our Savior. They're set for our glory in Christ. And so we have this marvelous, all-wise, and all-powerful God whom we serve, who's smarter than anything we could ever possibly imagine, who yet reveals things that have to do with glory intended for us through Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your wisdom. We thank You that You have chosen to reveal what You do reveal in Holy Scripture. And Lord, we know that even though there are secret things that You may never reveal to us, yet the things that are revealed are so inclusive and so beyond our comprehension that we can study all of our lives, Your Word, and still only scratch the surface of Your great wisdom. And yet what we see is true. It's real. And it's in accordance with Your holy will. It's in accordance with Your nature. And Lord, it is ordained for our glory. What a marvelous thing. Father, bless us indeed to serve You day in and day out through Christ our Savior. And look forward to that time when everything will be accomplished and all the things that You have ordained for the glory of Your people will come to pass. We long for that. And we look forward to that in Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen.